Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus has stood up in the synagogue and spoken the radical words from Isaiah. Today, he says, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And suddenly they said, what an amazing thing to hear. They were amazed at his gracious words, wondered who he was. Is this not Joseph's son? If ever there was an example of a fickle crowd, this would be it. They move quickly from acceptance and amazement at what Jesus has to say to wanting to throw him off of a cliff within just a couple of seconds. What made the difference? Jesus says, I tell you truly, a prophet is never accepted in his prophet's hometown. The truth is, there were many, many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, when drought and hunger ruled the land and there was severe famine. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, none of the widows of Israel, Jesus says, but to the widow at Zarephath in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha, but none of them was cleansed, only the foreigner Naaman, the Syrian. Well, the problem was, for once they listened to Jesus. And they heard what he meant behind what he said. And when they heard it, they rose up and drove him out and wanted to throw him off of the brow of the hill and kill him. Well, what was it that they heard? What they heard was that God's love was more expansive than they had imagined. What they heard was that God's love might look quite different from what they had grown to believe. That God's love was not exclusive or limited or kind of kept just for one people, but that God chose others, even their enemy, even the ones that don't count. A widow from some strange town in Sidon and Zarephath. A leper, Naaman, an enemy. That's who God chose. It wasn't in their canon or in their practice or in their imagination. And it so enraged them that the prophet Jesus would raise it up in the synagogue that they would choose to kill him. So I wondered about that. I wondered about that love that God has brought through Jesus, which really, if you read much of the New Testament, that's pretty much what Jesus talks about all the time. So how do you hear this reading from 1 Corinthians? Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth, etc. Love never ends. You've heard it at probably 2/3 of the weddings you've ever been to. I've always wondered why. Why this text? And the reason I wonder why is because the love, the word that's used for love is not a noun. As one of my colleagues reminded me on Wednesday, the word for love in this context is a verb. To love, agape, and to love in a particular way, unlimited, unconditional. And so she suggested perhaps love acts with patience. Love acts with kindness. Love acts in a way that is not envious or boastful and all the way down the way. The problem with that kind of love is that it is so difficult that it becomes offensive. And when you really do love that way, in the way that Jesus loved, they put you on a cross. They take your life. Or maybe your church. It's not an easy thing, really, to think about love this way. Because we're so busy being nice about it. Being comforted by it. I think within our context of our text this morning, as Jesus is being dragged bodily out of the synagogue to be thrown over the edge of a cliff, the kind of radical love that Jesus preaches rightly scares us. And it should. It isn't about being nice or warm fuzzies or any of those things. It's about seeing the other person in a different way. Our own church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, went through nearly 30 years of study, angst, petitions, arguments, threats, joy, as we tried to make what I always considered in my career as a fairly easy decision to make. Should we welcome gays, lesbians, transgendered people, that whole alphabet of rainbow people, should we let them be full members of our church? For those of you who have inherited the work that we have done over the past 30 years, you may not appreciate what happened and how it happened and how painful it was. I remember going to a synod assembly and listening as someone with as much passion as I had, about inclusiveness and welcome, and that it was just as it was as clear as a bell to me that God's love was expansive enough to include all people, this person felt just as strongly that my gay, lesbian, and transgendered friends were an abomination before God. At this assembly, I happened uncharacteristically to be seated near the mic where people came to speak. And the microphone was just a little behind me. And his anger was so palpable. I could literally feel the heat from his body. As he described people that I love and work with and work for as trash, as evil, as an infection. I just remember the tears. Tears of anger, and sadness. Sadness for what I considered to be a fellow pastor who had lost his way and forgotten about love. In the moment that we forget about love, this radical, difficult, hard, life-changing agape love that Christ calls us to, we stop being the church. And in a way, we lose a part of our humanity. As reconciling in Christ and the movement moved across our church, and when our national church made the decision, now to be clear, we had always for many, many years said that it was fine for you to be queer and in our church as long as you weren't a pastor. But when we said you could be a pastor of our church, when we voted as a national assembly to say, regardless of your sexual orientation or gender identity or queerness or whatever, that God loves you and wants you to be a leader of our church, we began to see the house unravel. In Orange County, the three biggest churches that were a part of our synod immediately filed to leave the church. And we saw this across the country, in cities, in the country, in suburbs. And maybe we concentrated over much on that, because the vast majority of you stayed and celebrated. I think for those of us for whom this love is a verb and is as expansive as God chooses for it to be, the house may have grown smaller, but it grew stronger, more resilient, more sure about its mission and its ministry. And to be perfectly honest, more secure in its absolute commitment that love will always come first. I use that moment in history of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America because it illustrates how painful it can be when we truly love someone. When we truly love with the love that God has gifted with us, and how difficult and painful and pricey it can be, and yet it is well worth it. These days, I find myself sort of floating around in all of the stuff around COVID, about being disconnected with people, about all of the many, many ways that our love is being demanded and needed in our society and how easy it is to ignore it. It's almost like we are spectators at a hockey game. Have you ever been to a hockey game? Oh, you've missed it. It's cold. You sit behind a wall and there's a plexiglass shield, which now we've all gotten used to. If you go to McDonald's, plexiglass. You know, wherever you go, there's plexiglass. But in a hockey game, there's always a big plexiglass panel between you and the action going on. And lately, I've almost felt like that's how the love is. The love is out on the ice doing the thing, but I'm behind a plexiglass panel. The panel is there to keep you from losing your teeth. Because hockey, the pucks come through. I used to play hockey. It's so fun. Puck goes through, takes your teeth out. So they put these plexiglass panels up. And so it's almost as if we've given ourselves permission to stay behind the plexiglass and see what love looks like in its nominative form. Oh, that's what love looks like. but we excuse ourselves from actually getting in the game. It's not safe out there. It's not easy out there. It costs a lot. In that wonderful gospel in Luke for today, I think Jesus invites us wholeheartedly into the game. To be livers of the verb that agape is. And to rebuild our house, our life, our church, our society in a new image. I want you to listen to the last verse of the opening hymn that Marty Haugen wrote. So, Jeannie, if you could bring the choir up. House to be built where all are welcome. Love will have to be a verb. Our commitment to our and our pledge to be a reconciling in Christ congregation is frankly just a beginning. To be able to see all fellow human beings, regardless of race or gender, or background, as our brothers and sisters, our siblings in Christ, will take incredible work and tears and laughter and hope. And in the end, I suspect that our church and our society will look nothing like it does now. It will be stronger and more resilient. It will better reflect God's vision of the prophets and of Jesus as a place where love reigns. And it will not do if all we are able or willing to do is to sit passively by and hope that it happens. Hope that someone else will stand up where there is injustice. That someone will just sort of show up at our door, and if they're gay or lesbian or transgendered or different or of a different race or look strange or homeless, that we'll welcome them. That's not a verb. It's a noun. It will take our energy and our effort to become an agape people. And let me be clear. To do so means that we will endure tears and hatred and anger. To do so means that at times people will leave our congregation and our church in disgust, because their house is too small. And we must continue to pray for them and love them and keep the door open for every person. But the only way forward is love. It is the way of God. It is the way of Christ. And it is the way of God's people. May we have the courage to love as best we can as Christ loved. And when we fail to do so, to allow ourselves to be, our own selves to be wrapped in that love of Christ and forgiven for our shortcomings. And begin again and again and again. And in the end, it is my prayer that Christ's vision as the body of Christ will be us. Amen. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day, Help Us Accept Each Other.